beginning with verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. O Lord God, we're here this morning and as a congregation to worship you, and Lord, you've heard the prayers of many that the requests for those that are in all kinds of situations of trouble and pain and sickness. And Father, we rejoice that you are the healer, that you are the comforter and the provider of all things that we need. Yet today, Father, we want to worship and praise you. We want to lift your name up for who you are. Father God, we thank you that you're not only our Creator, but our Savior. And we give you the praise this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand once again with us as we continue to worship. You know, we've just gone through Christmas, but everyone likes Christmas songs, and these that I picked this morning not only gives us a story of Christmas, but also gives us the story of what comes after our salvation, what the gift of that Christ has done for us. Sing with us this morning.
Thank you. We're looking again at Psalm 90 this morning. There was a man that wanted to teach his son the concept of time. So he came upon the idea to take a jar of marbles, take his son out to the pasture every day, and reach down inside and take one marble a day and throw it out into the pasture. Put the lid back on, put it away till the next day, and every day for several days, weeks, even months, he kept going and throwing one marble a day into the pasture until one day there was only one marble left. Trying to get that young man the idea of time. And he said, "You see, son, each marble is like a day. We get one day at a time, and then one day there are no more. They're used. They're gone." You know, the end of a year and the beginning of a new one is always a good time for us to reflect on the events the past year. Some are left forgotten. Better left forgotten. Others we look back upon with fondness, memories of joy and gladness. Sometimes we reflect upon ourselves and wonder and determine whether we have grown emotionally, spiritually, where we are in relation to the year previous. So it's a good time to do some reflecting. It's often healthy, actually, to examine ourselves, seeking to where we may make yet improvements in the future year, learning perhaps to avoid circumstances and situations in the future because we have learned from our mistakes, especially in the springtime of the year or the summertime when you've had a lot of rain. Don't try to get that one more swath out by the lake. You just stay away from that, you know. Look back and remember. It was G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher of a century or so ago, who said, "Let this year be given to God in its every moment. The year is made up of minutes. Let these minutes be watched as having been dedicated to God, for it is in the sanctification of that which is small that the hallowing of the large is secure." So I want to share with you just some thoughts rather quickly this morning on some reasons why we should number our days. Moses is the author of this psalm, Psalm 90, who wrote, and he has several things to say in this passage, and we're going to consider some of them this morning. Let's look at this passage once again. He first begins to address the Lord. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God in your eternity, he's speaking of here. "You turn man to dust and say, return, ye children of men." He speaks of the origin of man at the creation from dust. He speaks of the culmination of man's life to return to dust. He says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. Again, a view of God's eternity and his view from eternity, not bound by time as we are. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes. It grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath. We are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. God knows all. He is aware of all. He says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Isn't that true? We get together at family reunions or celebrations like Christmas, and what do? We tell stories about our lives. I used to ask my grandfather when I was just a boy, we would go to their house almost every Sunday after church for Sunday dinner. And all of the cousins, everybody was there. And so many kids, we always got shoved outside. But on rainy days, when we couldn't go outside to play, we'd sit down and say, Grandpa, tell us a story about when you were young. And he was born in 1890. He was 64 years old when I was born. And all I ever remember is he was just an old man. He wore bib overalls. He smoked a pipe. When he wasn't smoking his pipe, he was rolling his own Prince Albert cigarettes and sit in his chair. That's about all. But he would tell us stories which would reach back to his father's childhood during the Civil War. And there were some interesting things that he would tell us. But our lives are as a tale that is told. The reason people remember history is because somebody told them their history. Somebody told the story of their lives. Our days are passed away. For the days of our years are 70. 70 years. It dawned on me when Paul was reading that. I'm just 6 years away from my allotted 70. Now, many of you have already, by reason of strength, reached your 70 and then some. The point being, every day past that allotted 70 is a day of grace and God's blessing upon you. For yet their strength and labor and sorrow, for it's soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of thine anger, and according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, Moses says. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I want to speak to you just a little while this morning on reasons why we should number our days. First reason is because of the deception of time itself. Time is deceiving. Our lives seem to be many days, but in reality they are just few. And you can understand, the older you get, the quicker time passes. And you begin to realize one day that you have more time behind you than you have ahead of you. Time is deceitful. 1 year, 365 days. 70 years is 25,567 days, including leap years. They seem to go by slowly, but really they go by pretty quickly. Scripture tells us that life goes by quickly. He says there in verse 4, 1,000 years in God's sight is as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. It's like grass that grows up one day and then it's gone the next. Time is fleeting. Whenever I preach a funeral, and I've preached about 150 funerals, it generally takes only a few minutes to tell of the major events in a person's life. We sum up 70, 80, 90, even 100 years in just a few minutes. Days sometimes seem to go slowly, but in reality, those days go by rather quickly. Therefore, we need to make the most of every day because time is deceptive. We need to number our days, to be aware of each day, to be conscious of the importance of each day because time is itself very deceptive and because time is valuable. People say time is money. But you know, there are times that time is worth more than money. There was a prisoner who was facing the death penalty. And the day before he was scheduled to die, he got a letter from an attorney to inform him that his uncle had just died and left him $1 million. What luck is that? Not only are you in prison, you've got one day left to go, and now suddenly you're a millionaire. Time sometimes is worth more than money. We accumulate money in order to have an easier time of life, but we don't have that promise. So time, days should be numbered because of the value of time. Time is valuable. There's only a limited amount of time for us all. And it's the limitation of time that makes it valuable. So it stands to reason that we ought to pray for wisdom to know what to do with the time that we do have. We none of us know how much time we have. But we need wisdom to know what to do with the time that we do have. It can only be used once. There are 1,440 minutes in a 24-hour day. If you sleep 8 hours, you only have 960 minutes left in that day to use. And you all know that's not enough time to get done all the things that you think you need to get done in that day. Time is valuable because once you use it, it's gone, and you have to use it. You can't save it back for another day. You've heard the saying, no doubt, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Now, if I had rhythm, I could have rapped that for you, but I'm not a rapper, so. We number our days because time is deceitful and time is valuable and because time is often wasted. Moses prayed here to learn to number his days and apply his heart to wisdom because time is so often wasted. Time can be wasted or time can be invested. It's invested when it's put to good use. Even our leisure time can be productive. And we do need some time to rest. God enforced a Sabbath day, a time that man physically and emotionally and spiritually needs to rest. But you don't have to waste that time. It was to be invested. We waste time when we neglect to get God's guidance and His blessing because there's work to do in the time that God has given us to do. We fail often to ask God for His advice. We fail to seek God's wisdom. Why? Because we think we don't need it. We know better ourselves. We'll just go on and do what we think is best. We rely upon our own judgment instead of tapping into the wisdom of an eternal God. Well, what happens when we number our days? It gives us a new perspective on life's values. We need to number our days so we will learn to place value where it should be. We should place value on the things of God and eternity. See, in our lifetimes, in our days, day to day and day out, we have a tendency, if we're not careful, to love things and use people. We've got that backwards. We need to love people and use things. Things are temporal. People are eternal. That's why it's important, I think, to spend time with your family when you can. You get so little time to focus and to have an influence on family. So we have a better perspective on the things that mean most and are most valued in life. The Bible tells us that story of the rich farmer. Probably just very few of them, but there are some of them. You know, here's the fellow who harvested his crop, had more crops than his barns could hold. He tore down his old barns. He built new barns and he put all of his crops in there. He kicked back, put his heels up, got a glass of iced tea. That part is really down deep in the Greek there in that passage. But he kicked his feet back. He enjoyed. He said, you know what? I've got it made. Soul, take thy leisure. You've got it made. And that night, his soul was required of him. We never know. Time was more valuable then than all of his treasures. A perspective on life's values. Time is worth more than money. What you have in eternity is what counts. Jesus said, where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. When we number our days, it gives us a perspective not only on life's values, it gives us a perspective on life's sufferings. A perspective on life's sufferings. Look over in Romans chapter 8 just for a verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Paul writes to the church in Rome and he says in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the future glory. We might have it tough here. From time to time, there are people who spend their lifetime in a nursing home or debilitated or with some sickness, and their lifetime seems to be a time only of suffering, but there is an end to that time. But eternity has no end. Better to suffer for time than to suffer eternally. So salvation is offered to whosoever will. Those who may have a debilitating disease or a crippled body still have the opportunity to be saved. They may suffer in time, but be saved for eternity. Paul said there's no comparison to what we have in eternity. No matter how long one suffers, it is but a moment compared to eternity. Numbering our lives also gives us a perspective on life's purpose. On life's purpose. If we would but number our days, we would realize that one day will come and it will be our last day. We don't know when that will be. We don't know whether we have tomorrow or not. We have this moment, we have today. We're not assured that we have the rest of this day or tomorrow or the day after. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So every day that we live really is preparing for eternity. In your last day, the most important decision should have already been made because you are about to meet God. And that is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. So what have you done with your purpose for living? We all have a purpose, a reason. What have we done with it? Ephesians 5:15 tells us that we are to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. The word circumspect means to walk around. I always think of the illustration of when you're walking out through a pasture. You walk circumspectly. There are certain things you walk around. See? You watch where you're going. You're careful where you step. And he says in Ephesians, he's talking about that's the way we ought to walk and live our lives. Walk carefully. Know where you are walking. Know the path that you're on. Because the time is short and we need to redeem that time. See, our last day is hidden from us. So that every day may be heeded by us. Our last day is hidden from us, so that every day may be heeded by us. So we need to take the opportunities while we can. If you're not saved, don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. If you're going to serve God, not someday, do it today. If you're going to get victory over some sin in your life, don't wait until sometime later. Do it today. If you're going to give to missions, if you're going to start tithing, if you're going to start being faithful and sure, whatever it is you're going to do tomorrow, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. If you're going to get your heart right with God, someday is not adequate. Do it today. If you're going to reconcile differences that you have with someone, don't wait until later. Do it today. Using opportunities is the result of numbering our days. Just think how much we could accomplish if we would wisely number our days. St. Augustine said this. He said, I expect to pass through this world but once. If therefore there can be any kindness that I can show, if there's any good that I can do, any help that I can give, let me do it now. Let me not deter it nor neglect it, for I will not pass this way again. Before us lies a new year. It's right, we are right on the threshold. And we can make resolutions, we can plan things to look that we want to accomplish in the new year, but when it comes down to it, those days we don't have, but we have today. We don't know how much of the new year will be ours. And that's all the more reason to ask the Lord to teach us to number our days, to be aware of the days as they pass by, as they are handed to us just one day at a time. So my suggestion to you is use each day wisely before you lose all your marbles. Because those days come too, don't they? It's so important that we use what God has given us. And every day is a gift. You've heard that. How does it go? Tomorrow is a promissory note. Yesterday was what? I don't remember. Yesterday was what? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is a promissory note. All we have is the present. It's today. That's why they call it the present. We've got today. Oh, to be so God-conscious that we live each day as the best day of our lives. We can do what we can do for the glory of God today, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. There are people who died this week. Their today's ended. Suddenly, some of them suddenly, unexpectedly, some of them perhaps anticipated because of illness, but it doesn't matter what the date is. People died on Christmas. My mom passed away 2 days before Christmas, 10 years ago. The day doesn't matter. It's what we do with that day that matters. Lord, teach us to number our days. Father, I pray that we would be wise today in seeking your guidance and your direction, that we would be wise today in making sure of our salvation. If there's someone here who does not know that they know that they're born again, that today will be their day of salvation, that they'll not put it off to some unknown tomorrow. If there's sin that needs to be dealt with, if there's relationships that need to be repaired, whatever it is in our lives that we need to take care of, let us do it today while we have today. So work in our hearts accordingly to our need, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? And number, was it 456, I believe it is? 462. 462. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.